to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Tarodiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Ivakevalam Kalo Nastiva 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 Gatiranyata Vanchaka Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Bhavanebhya Vaishnavebhya Namo Namaha. Tonight, with your permission, I'd like to speak on a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I would request everyone raise your hands and repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bayang dvitiya biniveshya tasyad ishad apetasya viparyayo smriti tanmayayato buddha abhajettang bhakyai kayeshang guru deva tatma. So this verse is found in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, we hear a full explanation of the famous Bhagavad Gita verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, that Krishna's birth and activities are all transcendental, divine, divyam. That line of the Bhagavad Gita is fully explained in the 10th canto. Shukadeva Goswami describes the appearance of and the leelas, the three different leelas, Krishna's pastimes in Mathura, Dwaraka, and in Vrindavan, in 90 chapters. In the 11th canto, the Krishna leela continues, and in the 11th canto, it ends with Krishna's going back home, back to the spiritual planet where he eternally resides. Within the 11th canto, the major, largest section is the Uddhava Gita. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, the Uddhava Gita, in a similar way, Uddhava can tell, can surmise, because he's extremely intelligent, that Krishna's pastimes are winding up. And in fact, Uddhava requests Krishna, please take me with you. I cannot remain here on earth with you gone. I know your disappearance is imminent. Krishna says, no, I still have some service for you to perform. And of course, because Uddhava is a surrendered devotee, if his Lord says no, then there's no argument. He accepts. But there is many chapters where Uddhava questions Krishna on the science of the absolute truth, and Krishna gives the definitive answers. But just prior to that section, there is a section where Narada Muni is instructing Krishna's father, Vasudev. Krishna's father in Mathura and Dwaraka is Vasudev. So there was an occasion where Vasudeva was being instructed by Narada Muni, and Narada Muni related to him the story of King Nimi and the Navayogindras. Who are the Navayogindras? They're sons of God. In a previous era, God appeared as Rishabhdev. He had 100 sons, headed by Bharat, and he also had 9 of those 100 sons. He had 9 sannyasi sons, known as Navayogindras. So this King Nimi questioned the Navayogindras on very high-level Vedanta. Vedanta means where knowledge ends, the conclusion. So Maharaj Nimi's questions, very, very high-level type of spiritual inquiry. And each of the Navayogindras takes a turn answering these questions of Maharaj Nimi. So, one of those is the Yogendra known as Kavi. So here is the translation of the verse that I chanted. If you're ready to proceed, please signify by saying, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Here's the verse. Kavi says to King Nimi, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies him or herself as the material body, point number one, because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. So there's the first line. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he or she also forgets one's constitutional position as servant of the Lord. That's point number two. Number three, this bewildering, fearful condition is effected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Point number three. And now the solution comes in point number four. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, whom one should accept as his or her worshipful deity and one's very life and soul. So there's a lot here to digest, to think about. So let's look at point number one. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies as the material body. First thing we learn from Bhagavad Gita. Very first thing Krishna instructs Arjuna, you're not your body. You're not your mind. You are spirit soul. So here, Kavi is saying, as soon as I misidentify, as soon as I think of myself as man or woman, American, Indian, young, old, black, whatever, this is called misidentification. That's when fear arises. There is a song that is sung very often, Abhaya Charanara Vindare. You become fearless when you become attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. But here is pointing out, what is the root cause? The beginning first mistake is I identify as the material body. May Krishna bless you.
Thank you.
So this is the first order of business for those of us who are serious about spiritual life. We must consciously work at and never forgetting and always remembering this point. I am not this body. I am not my mind. I am, and it's mentioned later on, I am spirit soul. Now, Kabi says, why does this misidentification come in the first place? Absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. And this is what Krishna consciousness teaches. Krishna consciousness teaches, don't get absorbed in the material world. Become absorbed in Krishna. That is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna also says that time and time again. Think of me. Worship me. Bow down to me. Pray to me. Serve me. You can't do both. You're either going to be absorbed in Krishna or you're going to be absorbed in the external illusory energy. We are living entity. We can go either way. We have free will, which God does not interfere with that free will. Here you are, wherever you may be, whoever your situation is. Here it is right now. At this moment and every moment of your life, you have a choice. Do I want to be absorbed in this external illusory energy? Or do I want to be absorbed in Krishna? And nobody can interfere unless you allow them. But the choice is yours at any moment. Right now, do I want to be in Maya or do I want to be in Krishna consciousness? That's the choice. You only get two choices. Sorry. That's all you get. Just like there's another verse where it's described the living entity is like a bird sitting on a tree. And the bird representing the living entity is flying from branch to branch, eating the fruits. But guess what? There are only two fruits. Happiness and distress. That's it. And there's no tutti frutti. You get two. Happiness and distress. So this is our position. This is the meaning of Vedanta. This is the meaning of actual Vedic study. Understanding the reality. What is really going on here for myself and for everyone else? Krishna consciousness means a moment-to-moment decision of constantly absorbing my attention in Krishna. That is what is meant by Krishna consciousness. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the great Maharaj Parikshit. He was always consciously surrendered to Krishna. My favorite story, not my favorite, I have many favorites. One time one of Prabhupada's servants made a mistake. So he went to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I'm very sorry. Prabhupada, I fell into Maya. Prabhupada said, no, you didn't fall into Maya. You're always in Maya. Sometimes you fall into Krishna. So it is very instructive. Krishna consciousness is a decision that I make moment to moment. Now, at the same time, the material illusory energy doesn't play nice. It's a struggle. You have to want it. Because the illusory energy of Krishna can appear very attractive. It's not that it's ugly and miserable and horrible. Oh yes, I love Krishna because that, no. The material energy can be very alluring and attractive and tempting. So we have to come to the point, no. And I have to consciously say, no, Krishna, I want you. I want to serve you. So it's a question of building up an internal resolution. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. Whereas those who are not, their intelligence is many-branched. They want to do this, they want to do that. They want to go here, they want to go there. They're always looking and you have so many options how to try to enjoy the material world. Because you can't really. All you can do is try. But those who are Krishna conscious, they're fixed, they're determined. They have one objective. I must surrender to Krishna now. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniya Sada. Sada does not mean Sunday. Like some people think, oh, I like religion. Well, one day a week, 1 hour a week. The rest of the time, TV, this, that, and the other thing. Well, religion, God, I'll give 30 minutes. Yes, that's true. But sada by Lord Chaitanya means always, constantly. So that is what we are striving for. Constantly engaging in this moment-to-moment affirmation. No, I must surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. When the living entity turns away from the Supreme Lord. So that's, turning away from the Supreme Lord means chasing after Maya, chasing after the dream. Because, according to the Bhagavatam, this whole thing is a dream. Everyone is chasing the dream, especially here in Hollyweird. So many dreams, right? And whether you're a big, big success or big, big failure, at the end of the day, when it's all over, when the score is read, the day will come for every one of us. You know what? It was all a dream. It wasn't real. But the nature of Maya is that dream looks so attractive. And if we turn away from the Supreme Lord, then we chase like the mirage in the desert. Material happiness is like a mirage in the desert. Run, 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 run until drop dead. So, when the living entity turns away from the Supreme Lord, he or she forgets one's own constitutional position. This phrase is used so many times by Srila Prabhupada. Constitutional position. Here is this water that my good friend brought me. This water has a constitutional position. It is supposed to be nice, wet and quench my thirst. Rasoham apsu kaunteya. And sure enough, why does water quench the thirst? Krishna says, I have put my potency in the water. That's why water quenches. Water is a gift from God, not by arrowhead. Water comes from God. And it quenches our thirst because it has Krishna's shakti, potency in it. So that's the constitutional position of water. Everything, salt, has a constant. If somebody gives you something and it's supposed to be salty and you eat it, why does this thing taste sweet? Oh, Prabhu, I put the salt. No, you didn't. Salt has a taste. Right? Chilies. If you eat things with chilies in it, it has a certain taste. If thing is like lemon, right? Lemon has its unique taste. Lemon is not the same as, let's say, kiwi. Everything has its constitutional position. So do we. Our constitutional, in this case, we're all generic. In this case, we're all the same. What is that? Eternal servant of God. Now, some people, when they hear that word, they want to walk out the door. Servant? This is not the religion for me. I want the religion where I become master. I want the religion where I become famous. Yes, this is the wrong religion. This religion is teaching everyone how to be served. So you have time if you want to leave now, because it's only going to get worse. This religion teaches fundamentally all of us. Doesn't matter. You may be a president. You may be a big athlete, movie star, singer. You may be big, big businessman. Guess what? Join back of the bus. We're all servants. Group hug. That is our constitutional position. But there's another story. I believe Prabhupada told it here in Los Angeles, up in his rooms here. He once told a story. He was with some of his leading administrators, managers. So Prabhupada was saying, so this universe is only one of countless innumerable universes coming in and out of Mahavishnu's breathing. And in this one universe, there are so many stars and so many planets. All right, there's one planet, one tiny little planet known as Earth. And on Earth, there are seven continents. And one such continent is known as North America. And in North America, there's one country known as United States of America. And in the United States, you have 50 states. And in those, and then take one state, California. Now, Prabhupada didn't say California. I'm saying California. But there is one state, California. And in California, there are so many cities. So there's one city called Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, there are so many sections and suburbs and districts. There's one street called Watsika. And on Watsika, there are so many apartments and houses. And there's one apartment, one house, and somebody is thinking, I'm so important. You understand Prabhupada's drift in the scheme of things? We're so insignificant. So there's nothing to be proud or puffed up about. I am simply the eternal, insignificant servant of God. That's what I am. So, in the next line he says, the fearful, bewildering condition is affected by the potency called Maya. But that potency of Maya is only there because I have turned away from the Lord. But if I stay focused, if I stay chaste, if I stay in Krishna consciousness, that bewildering, illusory energy won't affect me. In another song by Bhaktivinod Thakur, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. I said earlier, material existence is like a dream. So you've all had experience of dreams. So whether you're having a good dream or a bad dream, when you wake up, you realize, it was just a dream. Say you're having a dream at night, a tiger is coming, and in your dream, and you wake up, it was just a dream. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you. You're so relieved it was just a dream. Or you're in your dream, and you're riding in an airplane and women are chanting your glories and you're enjoying, you're getting grapes in your mouth. Oh, I want this dream to go on. All of a sudden you went, it was just a dream. I got to go to work now. Oh. That's material existence. Good or bad, it's just a dream. And Bhaktivinoda is saying that you wake up from the dream because you're dreaming right now. Not really, because you're here in Krishna consciousness. But even when you're awake in material existence, actually you're dreaming. So how do you wake up from the dream? You wake up from the dream by practicing Krishna consciousness. Especially by the process you're doing now, hearing and chanting. This is how you wake up from the dream. Everybody chant. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. So the day may come. The day may come. It's happened to me. It may have happened to you. One day you wake up and you realize, oh my God, I'm in Maya. Me, Nirantara, I'm in Maya. How could have this happened? Nothing to worry about. No matter how much Maya you are in, you simply have to start again, regain the process, restart, right? If your car stalls, you get a boost, you get your car started again. You can reboot your spiritual life at any time. But you have to know the secret. And the secret is hearing and chanting, especially in the association of devotees. And as soon as you turn again to the Lord, because that's what it means, get out of your absorption in the illusory world and become absorbed once again in Krishna. And you do that by hearing and chanting. Gradually, you come out of the bewildering, illusory energy. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. Unalloyed means, my Lord, I don't want anything from you. I am serving you because that is my constitutional position. Prahlad prayed the same way. Here is the picture of Prahlad after the Lord killed his father, Hiranyakashipu. After this scene, the Lord wanted to give Prahlad benedictions because the young boy had suffered so much simply because he believed in God. But when the Lord wanted to offer Prahlad benedictions, Prahlad said, no, I'm not a merchant. I don't worship you for anything other than you are the Lord, I am your servant. That's it. There is no other relationship. That is the meaning of unalloyed. There's no business transaction. I simply serve you and love you because it is my constitutional position to do so. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, in this movement, this Hare Krishna movement, anyone who joins this movement in the past and for the next 10,000 years will be under the guidance of its founder, Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, whom one should accept as his or her worshipful deity and one's very life and soul. And what does Prabhupada want? I asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada said, when you love Krishna. So that is the order I have gotten from my spiritual master. I must learn how to love Krishna. And to do that, Srila Prabhupada has given us so many things. Prabhupada has given us. He gave us this movement. This movement is all over the world. You go all over the world, you can visit his temples and get the association of devotees. I myself, I travel around the world. I visit different temples. So I know exactly this is one of Prabhupada's gifts. He has created an international society. Prabhupada has also given us delicious food known as prasadam, which was the only reason why I joined in the first place. Prabhupada has given us his books, which he said are his emotional ecstasies. Prabhupada gave us these books not so that he would become a famous author, but no, Prabhupada gave us these books so that we could become pure devotees of Krishna, that we could return home back to Godhead. Prabhupada gave us the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra as our primary practice. If Prabhupada had said, all right, from now on, all my disciples must press their nose and do like this, I would have said goodbye. But Prabhupada said, no, I simply want you to chant on your beads 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada told us, give up the four pillars of sinful life which are enslaving you. These four regulative principles, if they're not followed, they make us slaves. They make us prisoners. But if we can give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, you can become free. Just like Dr. Martin Luther King thought, free at last, not until you follow these four regulative principles. That is how you become free. Prabhupada has given us the association of each other. Because it's not just a movement where you practice alone. No, it's a worldwide congregation. And there are people just like you all over the world. Yes, they're just like you. In what way? Just like you want to go back home, back to Godhead. Just like you want to develop your love for Krishna You can go all over the world and find someone just like you who has the same intention. And this way you can become quickly friends with someone. You go to a temple and you'll meet somebody, within 5 minutes you have a lifelong friend. It's happened to me so many times. Because they have the same basic core interest. Prabhupada taught, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada wrote, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. Do you believe? Who believes? Say Hari Bol. Very good. All right, let me read a purport, a short purport to this verse. And if there's any discussion after that, we can have discussion. So try to hear now. These are the words of Srila Prabhupada that he wrote when this verse appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when spoken by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want to thank Srila Prabhupada for coming to America, for starting the Krishna consciousness movement, and for accepting me as his disciple in April of 1974. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 37. It is an instruction given by Kavi Rishi, one of the nine saintly personalities called the nine Yogendras. When Vasudev, Krishna's father, asked Devarshi Narada in Dwaraka about devotional service, it was mentioned that previously King Nimi, who was the king of the Deha, was instructed by the nine Yogendras. When Sri Narada Muni discoursed on Bhagavad Dharma, or devotional service, he indicated how a conditioned soul can be liberated by engaging in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord is the Supersoul, spiritual master, and worshipable deity of all conditioned souls. Not only is Krishna the supreme worshipful deity for all living entities, but Krishna is also the Guru, or Chaitya Guru, the Supersoul, who always gives the living entity good counsel. Unfortunately, the living entity neglects the Supreme Person's instructions. He or she thus identifies with the material energy and is consequently overpowered by a kind of fear resulting from accepting him or herself as the material body and considering paraphernalia related to the material body to be one's property. All types of fruitive results actually come from the spirit soul, but because he or she has forgotten one's real duty, one is embarrassed by many material consequences, such as fear and attachment. The only remedy is to revert to the service of the Lord and thus be saved from material nature's unwanted harassment. Now, this last line brings up a topic that I've been hammering for the past several months. Notice the choice of words Prabhupada used. The only remedy is to revert to the service of the Lord. That means originally we were engaged in service to the Lord, which is consistent with Prabhupada's term, back to Godhead. Back means you were there, you left, now you're going back. Just like now you're in the temple. Even if you live in the ashram, at some point tonight, you're going back to where you take rest. Nobody sleeps in the temple, I don't think, do they? So everybody is going to go back to where they came from before coming into the temple today. Prabhupada has this phrase, back to Godhead, meaning that's where we came from, boys and girls. And that's why he uses this word, revert to the service of the Lord, because that's where we came from. We were originally in service to the Lord. We gave it up. We turned away. Welcome to Los Angeles. Welcome to your dream. How's your dream going? Is it a good dream? So, Krishna consciousness means going back to Godhead, going back to your service. All right, let's chant a little quick, nice bhajan, and then we can have some questions. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshaman. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshaman. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So do we have any questions? Yes. We learn from Prabhupada's books, as well as from direct statements by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. There's a way to actually test that one is making tangible spiritual advancement. The symptoms in general, the symptom is that one finds less and less and less interest in the external illusory energy, and one is increasing absorption and attachment interest for Krishna. It's a scale. As one side goes down, the other goes up. It cannot be, oh, I'm advancing spiritually and my material advancement is going very nice too. Don't work that way. You're either increasing spiritually and there must be decreasing of the illusory absorption. Now, for a person, if I may be so bold as to say, in your situation, you're, we could say, new devotee. Is that a fair assessment? Do you consider yourself newer than your spiritual master, so to speak? So you're young. So if you are experiencing some spiritual feelings, that's fine. And that's nice. But just make sure that you stay steady in the instructions that Prabhupada has given you. And don't make the mistake, oh, I've done it, folks. Hey, I'm going to get a sweatshirt now. Advanced. No, you are entitled to whatever spiritual feelings and emotions and realizations you may personally have. That's fine, but I would keep them private, and I would make sure that my service, both its level, quantity, and quality, I want to improve. These feelings or sentiments or realizations I may get should serve as impetus to improve. Do you follow what I'm saying? So as long as you're constantly trying to improve, and as Lord Chaitanya says, you keep yourself meek and humble, everything's good. Are you chanting your prescribed and you're executing the orders of your... Then... Haribo. More questions. Yes. Do you have the Srimad Bhagavatam, the complete set? Somebody should sell him a set of complete Bhagavatam. Prem Sankirtan, do you see who it is? So, that's number one. This story is described little bit in first canto, little bit in third canto, but completely in this 11th canto. The final chapter. Should I spoil the fun or let you read it on your own? Choice is yours. You want me to tell the story or do you want to read it on your own? Okay. Strap in your seatbelt. Okay, let's all get ready. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Is there a cutoff time that I'm supposed to stop? Temple rule. What is the temple rule? Huh? Six? I'm supposed to stop at six? Okay, in 4 minutes, I can't tell the story. It's another half an hour discussion. I will give you the 2 minute cliff notes. Okay? Krishna detected that the reason why he came at the request of Lord Brahma and Mother Earth was to annihilate all the demons, the axis of evil that was set up by Kamsa. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, you know what that is. After the battle of Kurukshetra, pretty much all the demons were done. So before Krishna was thinking, and then Lord Brahma came. Lord Brahma came to Dwaraka and said to Krishna, we asked you to come, and you did exactly what we asked you to do. You can now go back to your abode. But Krishna thought, If I leave my family members behind, that will be another burden on the earth. First, I have to see that my family is removed from the earth, then I will go. So that is called the Maushala Lila. Krishna arranged a pastime where his family killed each other off. Then Lord Balaram, you know who is Lord Balaram, produced a white snake from his mouth, got on the snake, went back home, back to Godhead. Lord Balaram Aki. Then Krishna sat down underneath a tree. He started to think about things. And a hunter came and saw the bottom of Krishna's foot reddish. He thought it was a deer. The hunter shot his arrow, shot Krishna in the foot, but Krishna did not go owie. The hunter thought he had killed the deer when he came. He knew who was Krishna. The hunter knew who was Krishna. And he fell down and said, "Oh, Krishna, please forgive me. I'm very sorry." Krishna said, so first of all, Krishna didn't die. And Krishna is not in any pain. So Krishna tells the hunter, "Don't worry." The hunter is delivered and goes back home, back to Godhead. Then Krishna sits down, continues, and he starts to ascend in his self-same spiritual body. So he doesn't die. He's ascending, ascending. He goes through the whole universe. Before returning to his abode, he pays a visit to Lord Brahma, because he told Lord Brahma previously, when Brahma said, "You can go," Krishna said, "Before I return, I'll pay you a visit." House call. So Krishna is ascending, ascending, ascending. He returns back home, back to Godhead. Is that all right? I still have 1 minute left. I'm good. All right. Yes? Yes. Yes. It would have, according to what I see, some demigods have more than one abode. That's how I would read it. You follow? Just like other demigods too, they have more than one abode. Just like even here, rich people have a house in California, a house in Hawaii, like that, house in Bali, you know. So it would appear that some demigods have more than one abode. That's how I would. All right, it's 6 o'clock. The game is over. Chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam to your full satisfaction. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.